If you're able to stand, would you stand for the reading of God's inerrant and infallible word? From the Gospel of St. John, from the 8th chapter, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Be seated. You know, back when I was in college, I used to talk to the hippies who were just coming on the scene. I never could figure out if my generation was the last of the beatniks. You remember, anybody remember Maynard G. Cribbs, the last of the beatniks? Or if my generation was the first of the hippies. But when I got to the university, transferring from the little junior college where I went, there were lots of hippies. I didn't know many at the University of Tennessee when I was there, but later on when I transferred to East Tennessee State, I've been in as many colleges. A lot of prisoners have been in prisons. But anyway, I used to talk to the hippies a lot. I mean, I used to witness, but that period in my life I was already saved. And they were really long hair, kind of, not as long as mine probably, but they wore really long hair. But back in my university days, I always wore a flat top. You remember, any guys ever wear a flat top? Now I've lost so much hair, if I tried to wear a flat top, it'd just be a chrome dome with an antenna on top of it. But I remember talking to this one hippie guy named Larry. I talked to Larry a lot. I was trying to reach Larry, and I remember it was kind of hard to reach. He was talking to me about taking LSD one time. He said, when I take LSD, I experience true reality. All I experience is pure sensation. And I said, so pure sensation defines absolute reality. You know, he said, yeah, man, yeah. And I said, well, in that case, an oyster knows more about true reality than the professors of philosophy here. Because all an oyster knows is pure sensation. I thought maybe that'll cause him. He looked at me and he says, wow, man, far out. And I knew I hadn't gotten to it. But I remember talking to a group of them one time, and incidentally, my son Jim says I have no shame, and when it comes to the Lord, I don't. He was visiting me in Cleveland one time, and he went to make a hospital call, and we were going to Euclid, kind of rough part of town. There was this Marxist bookstore with all these sayings on there, and the guy that ran it had dreadlocks and all that. He was standing up. Jim said, you ought to go in there sometime, Dad, knowing you. I said, I've already been. But I was talking to this group of hippies, and they said, all we want is real freedom. We want to do whatever we want. We want to be able to do whatever we want. And I said to them, that is the worst kind of slavery. Because your choices are based on yourself. And you will only do what yourself dictates you to do. So that you'll never really challenge anything. I want to talk to you today about freedom. Most of the world, and even sometimes in the church, we don't really claim the real freedom, but most of the world is in bondage. Did you know that? My hippie friend, Larry, he was in bondage. Some of the best people you know are in bondage. How does one become free? We fought the revolution to gain freedom from England, but political freedom is not real freedom in the end. we watched our country deteriorate. I'm going to shock some of you. My favorite politician, American politician, was a Democrat. In fact, I think with my hair, I kind of look like him. I may put his picture up in my office. He ran for president 5 times and lost every time. His name was William Jennings Bryan. And up perhaps to our current president, I have never known a president whose real concern was the welfare of the American people. He was a populist. Populists are the best kind of leadership because that means they're concerned about what the people's needs are. But anyway, that being aside, Bobby, do you think I look like you were alive when Jennings weren't? No, I guess not. But freedom. How do we get free? How many here want to be free? I'm surprised. Are you comfortable being a slave? I want to be free. How do you get real freedom? Jesus in the scripture today was talking, and he was talking about real freedom, and he talked about being made slaves. In this earlier passage, Jesus said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen to how most of the crowd responded. They answered him. This being the Jewish people. We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage. How can you say you'll be made free? Well, first of all, they weren't telling the truth, claiming never to have been in bondage. They've been in bondage in many, many ways other than bondage to sin. We're going to be looking at Daniel. The book of Daniel is written during a period of enslavement of the Israelites by the Babylonians and then the Medes and then the Persians. Their whole nation, the whole nation of Judah, was carried away into slavery. The king's eyes were put out, and they went where the Babylonians told them to go, and they did what the Babylonians told them to do. They must have forgot that, these people. We do tend to forget things, don't we? They were slaves to their pride and arrogance. Show me a person that has never felt in need of the Lord, and I'll show you a lost person. Show me a person who's never realized they've erred, I'll show you a person insensitive to the truth of God. And these people were in that place. The true thing that enslaves you and me is sin. You know that? Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, you know, you're the slave of sin. Sin controls you and binds your life. It defines your destiny. Sin is anything that is not centered on God. You know, I've told you again and again, one of these days I'm going to leave or be dead and gone or something, but I want you to remember this. You know, understand what original sin is, and it's in all of us. If you think it's not in you, you're mistaken. You're mistaken. Some people say, oh, aren't little babies so innocent? They're not innocent. If you want a picture of self-centeredness, look at an infant. I'm sorry. Look at an infant. They're all they know. Let your diaper get dirty. I remember when I was in Hawaii, this, you know, some of the guys was telling me, he said, this lady, woman was going to be gone for a day and a half, and she left her husband in charge, and he came back and says, they use Pampers, you know what those are? Janice, they didn't have them when you were a little pup, were they? But they use Pampers, and his wife comes, "Oh, that baby, she smells terrible. What is wrong? You're not changing the diaper. You don't need changing. It says from good for 10 to 20 pounds. But you let a baby's diaper get dirty, it's going to cry, isn't it? Because that's all it thinks about. You let it need a bottle, that's all he thinks about. It's entirely centered on itself. God doesn't hold them accountable, though. I want to be clear. You are not held accountable until you're old enough to know better. But that's just the reality. And people continue to center their wants, their desires upon their own life. And that's the mark of original sin. Even we believers still see that in ourselves sometimes, don't we? I see it in me. But to be enslaved to sin is to be governed by sin, to be governed by an outlook that is contrary to God's will for your life. How do you get out of that? How do you get out of that? Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Remember, he talked a number of places about truth, didn't he? But there's three important ones I want to refer to you first. First off, he said to the disciples in the Gospel of John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And then he goes on to say, unbelievers in the world, other religions in the world, hear this, it's not from me, it's from Jesus. He went on to say, none comes unto the Father except through me. It is only through Jesus Christ that you are set free. He is that truth. He came into the world to save sinners. How are sinners saved? By conversion, by being born again. He is the truth. So, Buddha said some things that were true. Karl Marx even said some things that were true. But that is not the truth. The truth is a person. Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Jesus didn't answer him. Jesus knew Pilate wasn't interested in the truth and wouldn't have heard it if he told him. The truth is a person. The truth of all of life was standing right in front of Pilate, and Pilate not only could not see it, he would not see it. Jesus is the truth. He is the measure of what is real and eternal and of value, and he alone is that ultimate witness. He's the truth. And if a person is ever going to come to know in fullness a true reality that is God, he is going to know it only in and through Jesus Christ. Knowing Christ is how you're made free. Before I knew Christ, you know what my state was? My state was alienation from God. My state was that I was not God's child, but a child of wrath. I've told you before, not everybody is God's child. Will not find that in the Bible anywhere. You will not find one place that tells you that every human being is God's child. Every human being is made in his likeness, but that's not the same as being his child. Before I was saved, I was a child of wrath. I had my sins upon myself, and I carried them for myself, and they separated me from God. But in the richness of his grace, that's a great day, isn't it? How many, if I ask you to raise your hand, could testify that I knew that great day when God in his mercy called me to Christ, and I repented of my sins, and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. That's the greatest day of your life. And then my sins were no longer upon me. My enslavement to them, it was no longer resting on me. But he took them from me. And he carried him, himself, and they were washed clean. Hallelujah. What a day. But it wasn't my choice, and it wasn't anything I did that made me free. It was God's gracious call to faith, which I believe. And I thought there are people all around this room would stand up if I ask you, yes, preacher, that is the story of my life. I was set free. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, he also said to encourage us that we might know him and know his way. This is your book. Did you know it? This is your book. God gave it to you. You know how many lives of the saints were lost to keep this word for you and me. Brother Charlie Campbell, I took a few in to show it. He gave me a gift when I was down in Tennessee. Brother Charlie preached our revival. Wasn't he great? I hope we can get him back again someday. But he gave me a gift. It's a piece of glass, it's dual glass, and sealed within it is a page from the first Bible ever printed in English, early 1600s. Most of the men that did that were persecuted, some even killed. Now, what does Jesus tell us about this book? They were discussing truth. And in that discussion, I'm having allergy problems, forgive me. In that discussion, Jesus told them, "Thy word is truth." Believers, he told us that because if we're confused about anything, where do we go for truth? We go to where Jesus said is truth. I mean, you look at all the controversial issues. How do I know abortion's wrong? Abortion is a sin. Most abortions are done for birth control. Do you know that? I always say that a woman gives up her freedom of choice when she says yes to a man. Sorry. Now, that can be done in a great godly fashion, or it can be done immorally. I know it's wrong because the Bible tells me it's wrong. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, "Before I knit thee together in thy mother's womb." That tells us that God is present at conception, even before conception. How do I know homosexuality is wrong? The practice of homosexuality is condemned throughout the Bible. There's no question about that. These imbecilic theologians at some of the universities will go a country mile, more than maybe a country thousand miles, to get around it, but you cannot get around it. How do I know I ought to forgive those that hurt me? Because the Bible tells me so. How do I know that I am to help the person in need? What decides the truth of that? The Bible. I had a fellow, many of you heard talk about Steve Vargo. Came to the Lord under my ministry apartment in Ohio. If I knew a saint of God in the end, it was him. But he'd always say, some preachers would be offended by this, but I was always rejoiced because I knew he had the right outlook. He'd say, "Preacher, I don't care what you think. What does the Bible say?" Now, that's the spirit. It's not what I saw. Whatever I say is of value only insofar as it truly teaches the Word of God. And if I teach anything else, it's to your harm and not to your healing. I know that. Bondage is belonging to anything else other than Jesus Christ. And like the demons in the man whom Jesus healed, they are thousands. And true freedom is when God, in His rich mercy, folks, if you're out there listening on the radio, please hear this. True freedom and true life, the true way, is found only in Jesus Christ. The only way your sins are ever forgiven is through Jesus Christ. I don't care how many good works you do. When I was in India, they were always trying to pile up good karma in hoping they would outweigh the bad karma. Ain't gonna happen, folks. Before a holy, righteous God, one thing on the scale of bad in the karma condemns you. The only thing to see is Christ. We live in a world where truth is relative. You know what that means? That what's true for Adrian may not necessarily be true for me. Or what's true for the Christian is true for them, but it's not true for the Mohammedan. Oh, that's wrong. There is but one truth. That's Jesus. Church, you've got to get bold about that. You're gentle with unbelievers and you're gentle with other religions, but you better be certain that you make it clear there's only one way to salvation and reconciliation with God, and that's through the gift of the great loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you and wants to receive you. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ. And how do we get that freedom? First, in the hearing of the gospel. You who sit here today hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ have been blessed in a way that so many have yet to be blessed. You ought to praise His name that you heard the gospel, because unless you had heard the gospel, you would not have known about Christ and you would not have known about the way of salvation. And it's by His mercy and grace alone that you're allowed to hear it. Did you know that? Throughout the world, there are those that need to hear for the first time. Still today, millions upon millions. But God, in the richness of His mercy, allowed you not to be counted among them, but to be counted among those who have heard the gospel. Can we get a praise to the Lord? And in His mercy, when He moves upon a soul, we hear, to come unto Him, you must repent of your sins. Call them the evil that they are. Sin is going to destroy you. Call it for what it is. Sin is the servant of Satan. Call it for what it is. Anger and is a sin. The desire to have great wealth for yourself is a sin. The desire to be famous for yourself is a sin. Call it for what it is. Don't make excuses when the Bible condemns something in your life. Do you hear me? Don't try to justify it. The only spirit that causes us to justify sin does not come from the Prince of Peace. It comes from the demon in hell. Hear that now. Hear that. I see sin in my own life. I'm not going to justify it. The devil will try to get me to justify it. I'm not going to justify it. I'm going to call it for what it is. And you know, God gives you the power when he saves you over sin. Did you know that? The Lord's Prayer. Friends, I'm still tempted to sin. And occasionally I do sin and have to repent of it. But Jesus says, thy word is truth. In the Lord's Prayer, I say this every time I'm tempted. Because I know he's going to do it. Lead me not into temptation. You ask him in the face of temptation not to let you be led there, and you won't be led there. That works every time. Repentance means turning away. You want to turn away from sin and turn to Christ. That's a gift of grace when you know that. You repent of your sins. You give your life to Christ. There's an old saying back in the mountains. They use that in North Carolina. Lock, stock, and barrel. You heard that phrase? Well, that salesman came into my general store and he made me this deal, and by darn, I bought it lock, stock, and barrel. And he cleaned me out. Lock, stock, and barrel means with all, with totality. It means that you give your life to Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel. Nothing's withheld. Nothing. The believer doesn't have any time of their own. Did you know that? Because they've given all that time to the Lord. He owns you. The Lord owns everything I've got. Some stuff he wishes I'd get rid of, but he owns everything I've got. He has all my time. He has every breath that I take. Whether you know it or not, that's, if you're a believer, that's true for you too. Coming to Christ as the truth that sets us free means that we belong to him. And we follow him trustingly, faithfully. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm going to be saved. I know he has me in his hand, like old Daniel. We're going to learn some great lessons about old Daniel. Put him like a kin, a twin pet. Remember twin pet? Dale, your dad introduced me to twin pet. When I was here the first time, my wife used to make a meatloaf everybody loved. And they talked about how, first time, how moist it was and how good. And I said, well, the reason it tastes that way, I was talking to your dad and Uncle Brannick and some others, I think. I said, the reason it tastes that way is that my wife always mixes a can of twin pet in with a hamburger. Now, if you ever saw twin pet, it's the only dog food I know that comes with hair. And the next meal, nobody ate any of it. And she found out about it, and I was in big trouble. But I hope, Dale, I hope it wasn't your dad that told her. But anyway, the thing is that we as believers, must trust him, and the Lord will hold us in all things. He held Daniel in the lion's den. He protected him in the furnace, and not only did he protect him, he was with him. I trust him, do you? When you give your life to him, it means you trust him. And I don't know whatever happens to me. If I get hit by a garbage truck in Burlington sometime and killed me, don't worry about me. I'm fine. When I fell off that tractor out there, I jumped off of it. the attendant from the rescue squad came, and I had passed out. And as I woke up, he was saying to me, "You're going to be all right." I said, "Brother, I'm going to be all right whether I live or die. I can say that because God, in the richness of his mercy, called me to my sin, led me to repent, led me to give my life to him. I can say that with confidence." Hallelujah. He's made me free from worrying about dying. We may dread the dying process, but we're not afraid of dying, are we? In his mercy, he called me to himself. And said to everyone who is saved, "Follow me. Trust me. Give your life completely to me. I'll make you free." Freedom in Christ is the greatest of freedoms. The Lord led me while I was in Ohio to begin to pray for this Chinese man. He was in prison. I didn't know him. Never even heard about him. God just gave me a calling one night. And if I had a list of mugshots, I could pick that man out. You may say, "Well, preacher, that's crazy." It may be crazy, but I know it's true. And I prayed for him. And then after about 4 years, the Lord released me from that call to pray for him. And I think maybe the Lord took him home or he was set free. But I remember thinking one evening as I was praying for him, you know, that man in that prison is freer than the men who've imprisoned him. Because the Son has made him free. I don't give altar calls very often, only when the Lord leads me, and he's leading me this morning. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but you've never really been free. Maybe you've been an officer in the church and you've never really been free. Do you want to be free? Do you want to repent of all your sins and know they're forgiven? Do you want to turn your life over lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only and the best life? Do you want to know that you can trust him in all things? That he's got you forever? Do you want to follow him? Do you want him to really come into your heart? This is the truth, my friends. Jesus saves. He's the truth, the only truth, that will set you free. If you'd like to receive him today, he's waiting on you.